This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 247. Like Cheez-Its, our security level is orange. Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sissa.
And I am Pandalicious.
Welcome to our post 5-year anniversary podcast episode. Did you have a good week?
Yep.
Really? That sums up the whole week?
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah? Not a woohoo or a
meh. Nope.
Yeah, yeah. My week was like meh.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, if we're going to do it like one syllable sounds, but you know, that's okay because that week is over. We've got a new week and we've had a bunch of stuff that we've been diving into all week long. So that's what we're going to focus on. But before we jump into that, I want to say thanks to everyone that sent us congratulatory shout-outs. We actually have a few more that we're going to share at the end of this episode. So guess what? You're going to want to listen to this episode in its entirety. I mean, you should always listen to our episodes in their entirety.
But I mean, if you don't, this will be one that you might want to
hear. Yeah, because there are some nice, you know, things being said about us. And who doesn't like hearing nice things being said about
someone?
I mean,
I wish I heard nice things about me every damn day.
I do, don't you?
Like, I think I should wake up to just random people be like, Panda, you are so awesome. Like, you're unbelievably awesome. Did you do something to your hair? Do you want me to brush it? Well, actually, that's
so you want servants, is what you're saying.
No.
Because that's what it sounds
like. No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Madam is looking especially wonderful today.
No, I don't want to call you Madam. No.
So you prefer for your servants to call you Panda.
I want them to feel... I mean, I... No, I don't want...
Gotcha, bitch.
I don't want servants.
Yes, you do.
No, but I would like to see... Like, I'd like Twitter to become my room of gratuitous praise. Like, I think there should be several tweets a day about how awesome I am. And how modest I am, too.
Oh, yes, yes. Because you are the paragon of modesty.
I mean, when you look
it up on Urban Dictionary, you're the picture.
I'm just the paragon, period.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes, that's what you're gonna go with. Okay, fine. You do that. Okay? Yeah, you do that. You make that happen. So, this week, we have some of the things that we didn't get to last week. Mm-hmm. Surprise of all surprise, miracle of all miracles. The PSN is still down. Ha ha!
However, there are rumors circulating that it should be up, air quotes on the should, right before E3.
Yeah, here's the thing.
And developer use. Yeah, as of the 31st of May.
2 weeks ago, they were going to start rolling some of the features back. And then, actually, no, we can't do that. But we're getting really close, and we're going to roll out some features. And now it's, well, actually, it's probably not going to be until June. So...
Sorry!
We are, like, so sorry, and, like, we would just like to... You know, put some people out into the world to just really walk up to everyone and say, "Oh, do you have a PS3? Yeah, we're sorry.
Is it the only? Did you save up for years to get it? We're sorry.
Yeah, after we said, you know, just get another job to buy it because it's really, you know, it's not.
It's
that
so
expensive.
Worth it. And now people are going, yeah, it's not worth it.
Sorry,
but at the same time. I know some people are on the forefront of so much blasting going towards, you know, PSN for something like this. And, I mean, sure, their security wasn't very strong. But, at the same time, this could have happened to anyone, really.
Look, I don't have a problem with it getting hacked, because, you know, I've always been in the mindset that anything that one person builds, another person can pull apart. So any encryption that a person makes, another person can pull apart. Any encryption that one computer or one set of computers makes, another set of computers, given the right criteria, can break. So I'm not knocking them for getting hacked, because I'm sure that they did, you know, the due diligence to have a good security system in place. But, you know, there are specific things that when you are taking in and you are processing credit cards that you're supposed to do. And, you know, one of Visa's underwriters is that you don't capture the security code. And if you do need to capture the security code, you keep it in a separate database away from the number so that, you know, I don't have to be panicked about possibly now being the focus of major identity theft, which I am now. Because the card that, you know, I tied to my PSN is one of the cards that I use on a daily basis. And, you know, it has a very high limit. And so it would be nothing if someone was to get a hold of it to, you know, run up a $7,000 charge on it.
Get the fuck out.
It would pass.
Get the fuck out.
No, you get the fuck out. It's my apartment. So I am very, very concerned.
I don't have it like that. I don't have to worry about
you. I don't have it like that, but it would go through. So I'm very, very concerned. And more than likely, I'll end up, you know, closing out that account because within the next couple of weeks to make sure that that doesn't happen, because, you know, I cannot afford for that to be out there because it'll take forever to fix, you know. So I'm not knocking Sony because they got hacked, okay? What I knock Sony for is how they reacted to the community when it happened. You know, right. Without having all the information in a row before coming out and saying, okay, this is what happened, this is what we believe people have gotten a hold of, and here are the steps that we're taking, one, to make sure that that doesn't happen again, and the steps that you should take to protect yourself. And that should be the first response, and it should be immediate, okay? And then there should be constant conversation going on about where they are in the process.
They should do, like, Homeland Security for the PSN. It's like, we're in yellow.
Well, I mean, you know, you've got a massive communication vehicle. We're in Cheez-It
orange right now. You can relax.
Okay. Yeah, you like it in Cheez-Its.
Hell yeah.
But seriously, you know, you are a company, which means you have a corporate-facing website, at minimum. They have a blog. There's no reason that there shouldn't be some real steady flow of information of where we are in the process and things like that, instead of having to guess and wait to hear from some tidbit from somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody that talked to somebody at Sony that said that, oh yeah, it looks like Amazon servers were used to be the battering ram to get into the Sony thing. So it wasn't an easy hack. It wasn't like they just went, oh look, here's your password file, let's open that up. Oh, there are credit cards in here.
Dear
great.
PSN community, we're still working on it. Love, Sony.
I mean, just something like, hey, here's some progress that we've made. We think we've identified where they came in or how they came in, and we're taking
steps. We found out who took the red stapler. We'll keep you updated.
We know where the cake is. It's not a lie. Like,
here's a picture of the location where the cake is.
And we're making strides now to get to this room. You know, just something other than, you know, it's been 2 weeks, and I haven't really heard anything, and you know, last time anybody said anything, it was going to be up in a week. Well, that was 2 weeks ago. Oh, yeah. Now it's, well, actually, it's going to be 2 more weeks.
Is it really sad that when I just did that whole spiel about the room and location, I thought of the Zelda room where you have to push the block to get to the stairs? Like the hidden passage?
No, that's why we do this show. Because you think like that. Because I think like that. That's why we do this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I was like,
if we didn't do this, you would be strange.
I'm strange regardless.
Well, I mean, but you would be strange to people around you because
people are strange when you're a stranger.
Oh, don't start. Don't start. We're not singing.
Faces
are
ugly.
We're not singing in this episode.
When you're alone.
Stop it.
I got the right stuff, baby.
Stop it! We're not singing. Don't say another lyric. Oh. Stop it! No, not that right stuff. Ugh.
Oh my god, I totally squeed over the New Kids on the Block on Dance with the Stars 2 weeks ago. Like
okay, contain your girl. Contain your shishi. Bring it down. We don't discuss that here.
No.
We damn sure don't discuss NKOTB here.
No, and BSB.
No. That. Stop it.
They were doing. No, stop it. No. No. Yes. They were doing a battle.
No.
And I totally thought that kids totally didn't want it.
Stop it. I'll make you kiss the door knocker ring. Now stop it.
I'm proud to be a girl.
I'm not saying to be proud to be a girl, but this is not the forum for that conversation.
Why not?
Because this is about video games, gadgets, and anime. Is that a video game? No, that's an X. Is it a gadget? No, that's an X.
They use gadgets.
They don't. They use apparatus to sing. They don't use gadgets. Now stop it. So, what else do you have for the people, Panda?
Well, I mean, I know last week, you actually had wanted to talk about an anime. Not that we got to it. And I stayed home one day this week. I was feeling kind of under the weather, and I really appreciate everybody who had really nice sentiments to say. I am doing a lot better, so thank you for asking. Thank you for being a friend.
I said we weren't singing this.
Yeah, I know.
So damn it. I said that.
So I literally woke up and thought I was going to play, like, nothing but, you know, Dragon Age 2. But I was like, you know what? I want to watch something. I just want something to be on, there be noise, and me not have to think. You know, and indeed, Dragon Age, you kind of have to think about what your reactions are.
You think?
A little bit. Yeah, I do think, bitch.
No,
yeah.
I didn't mean like that. I was trying to be smart, you know, like, in Dragon Age, you have to think. And I was like, you think? Meaning you think you have to think in Dragon Age?
Oh, my God, you think?
No, because then I would have said it, you think? Duh!
Regardless.
So, oh my God, I'm not that much of a
bitch. But I noticed on Netflix that they had put up a few more animes up there, and one that you talked about was up there, and I was like, you know what? I'm kind of curious. Let me see what's going on with this. Eden of the East. I know King Baby Duck had talked about it months ago.
I talked about Eden of the East, like, almost a year ago.
And he talked about it before you talked about it. He actually wrote a piece about it before you talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, he's kind of a psychic.
Because I found out about it through Paulette Bennett, who's over with the D-Toy group. And
it's fucking amazing. But anyway,
Japanator.
I know that King Baby Duck was like, you would really like this anime. And I was like, I kind of brushed him off a little bit. And I was like, I know I will. I'll get to it.
It's kind of like the conversation we had about Glee.
Yeah, exactly. I like to broach things when I want to broach them, whether it means I'm not...
You're a rebel.
I'm just lazy.
Oh, yeah. I was trying to be nice.
It's just a matter of being lazy. I can own it. I'm just lazy.
I want to own it. I want to own it.
But they went and they had Eden of the East for instant streaming. So I picked it up. And it's only, you know, 11 episodes long. And I was a little surprised at that because it's not even an initial length of an arc. Because a regular arc is at best 13.
So, let's be fair. Typically, a season for anime is 12 episodes. Typically. And then...
If it's going to be a longer anime with arcs...
It'll be 12. And then if it's only going to be a two-runner, it'll be 12 with a bonus that's not necessarily part of the arc that'll get thrown on.
Yeah.
Okay? It's either like a OVA that they'll throw on at the end... Okay, like with, what was that series that I watched?
I'm not you, so I wouldn't know.
I know you're not me, but the one with the, Shikabana Hime. Okay, which was a dual run.
Yeah, the very last episode, the bonus episode, had nothing to do with the end of the second arc. It was pretty much just all of them before shit got real.
Well, it wasn't even all of them. It was like a second piece
wasn't
to...
Wasn't it Minai? I think it was Minai's story.
Yeah. And it basically... It was like the extra bits of the episode that they focused on Minai.
It was like, oh,
by
the way, in case you thought that monk was really a dick and that he really... I'm like, oh, there was actually a connection there.
Yeah.
It was very faint and very little, but...
But it was actually
there
very
was
important,
yeah.
And we're going to share it with you now. Go. That's basically what they did.
Yeah.
And it was like really,
like you
confusing.
really could have added that.
I was like, I thought we're going to see the next step of, you know, these two like being badasses together, or we're going to see like down the road that they actually ended up like being a couple or not being a couple or somebody outlived somebody. But no, it was just like. Oh, yeah, no, Minai actually kind of sort of had a soul, and they did actually have a bond. And that he wasn't a dick because he's trying to keep her from dying. And but it's over.
And he was a ginger.
And then you're just like, wait, what? Until
he shaved all his head off.
So, Eden of the East. Break it down for the people.
So, pretty much in this scenario, you're looking at Japan from a youthful perspective. All these neats. These very kind of lazy, young, unmotivated youth.
Basically the stereotypical computer nerd.
More or less.
Yep.
You know, and they're all just kind of, and they're all just kind of existing, but they're really not perpetuating themselves into the next steps of their lives.
So basically, they are in the world, they are not of it.
They are all in their mother's basements, and they're content to stay there.
Basements are,
and, you know, cool. And apparently, you find out that there was this, pretty much this self-made billionaire who's made all these connections, had been a part of the war, didn't like the way that...
I presume we're in Japan.
Yeah, we're in Japan.
You should probably let people know that. It's Japan. Like, the war? What war? Where? Who is at war? Where are we? Who are we? Why are you
it's
here?
It's Japan!
What are you doing in my room?
The war that had Japan... Wasn't that World War II?
Move on. Just move on.
Wait, is it?
Just move on!
Regardless, the war that... Yeah!
Keep talking. Just keep talking, Panda.
Regardless, talking. The self-made millionaire coming from the war... Didn't like the way that Japan was shaping up to be. He didn't like the course it was on. It felt it was going into turmoil.
Turmoil. Bad things.
So he took all of his connections and all of his powers and he essentially...
And he built a tower.
Well,
and he flew a plane into it. The end.
No.
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 He used his resources and decided that, you know, he wanted to save Japan.
Aww.
But him being in the state that he's in because he was, you know, older and was on his way out, more or less, knew that he could not be the hand that guided Japan, but wanted to put things in place to allow somebody who had the courage to mold Japan to do so. So he went and he created, I'm going to butcher.
Selacow.
The Selacow?
Yep.
Which are these 12 individuals that he...
Actually, Selacow.
But, who apparently yeah. he handpicked 12 geeky. People.
Mm-hmm.
And what he did is he crafted these really cool-looking phones. Like, I have to say, Japan, in terms of style, like, stylistically, they are sexy
they're on point.
Gadget fucks.
They're
fucking
on point.
Sexy.
They pull a lot of inspiration from existing devices when they are creating gadgets that appear in a lot of your more technical or thriller series. So that is probably a hybrid of two different phones that are available.
Oh my god, it's so freaking cool.
I think it's actually a mock of a Nokia phone.
But regardless, and these phones are uniquely special. One, they're fingerprint ID'd. So only the people that they are issued to can use them, if they even
accept. For their intended purpose.
Yeah, that's right. So, I mean, there's obviously a catch. You know, these phones have the ability to pretty much do anything.
Well, let's take it back. The phone doesn't have the ability. The user can talk to someone. It's a direct line.
A concierge, which I think we find out later, is actually this giant computer...
Jeez.
...database.
Yes.
And the person who has the phone, who accepts to enter into this game... Because it's kind of a sick, twisted game. To pretty much fix Japan.
Yep.
You get 10 billion yen.
Yep.
To change the world.
Yep.
If you spend all... You have to spend all your money.
Yep. It's almost like Brewster's Million. You have to spend all the money in order to possibly win the big prize, which is more money and power.
More or less. So,
$10
million.
But if you don't...
If you go on periods without spending money, they will send... They send the what is it? Who do they call him? The supporter.
Yep.
Who is actually one of the 12.
Yep.
You don't know who it is.
Nope.
But, so if you don't spend your money, after a while, he'll send the supporter out to pretty much kill you.
Yes.
If you use your money for a personal gain...
Yes.
After so long, they'll send the supporter after you.
Correct.
If your balance hit zero and you have not completed the objective...
Right.
You are eliminated.
You're out of there, bub!
And if you are the Selassie, who completes it and wins, if there are any others alive, they will all be eliminated too.
Yep.
So it's not like you guys can all work together. You win,
everybody lose.
There's only one winner in this scenario.
Yep.
And
it is not a win-win situation.
It's not. I actually really like how the setting is actually kind of based in a college into the real world. You know, because most animes take place when you're really young, you're in high school, and you really don't know, you know, what your next step is. And right. I mean, I think that this anime had a...
Well, because it's a much more mature thing that's going on here. You have a country that really is kind of... It's on the downswing, right?
Yeah. Okay. It's completely on the downswing.
There aren't enough jobs for people. There's not enough money going around. People are very sad. There's not, you know, the industry that was going on before. It is not good times.
No.
Okay? There needs to be some kind of catalyst to change it, but there really isn't anything happening from the political
area. And they'd all rather just walk in the line and go through the motions... Because they're
because
not
it's better than the alternative.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so the whole competition with the Selassie is that's you know derived by the what do they call him, the doctor or whatever.
Mr. Outside.
Yeah, Mr. Outside. Thank you. It is designed to really try to spur some new ideas, to try and get some new thought and new leadership,
some new happening. Blood, some new leaders. To bring Japan out of this funk.
And to take it in a new direction, because obviously what they're doing is not working
for them. Now, this doesn't mean that, you know, Mr. Outside just went and got the best and the brightest. I mean, he really went and got very different people from different walks of life to participate.
And it sounds really deep, but when you think of the first episode, basically it starts with this very, very young, you know, almost... bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, ingenue-type character who's obviously...
She's in America. Her name's
obviously
Saki.
In America. And she's in outside front of the White House. Okay. And the first thing that was really kind of disturbing to me was the first episode that I watched was actually on the Anime Network when I was living in Virginia. And so it was in English. So it was dubbed. But
I watched it dubbed.
Right, but here's what happened, and this is why it was weird for me. In the first episode, when she's talking about the White House, on the version that I watched in D.C., all of her inner thoughts are always spoken in Japanese.
So wait, when she talked, it was in English, but her inner thoughts were in Japanese.
Right, so when she was thinking and talking to herself about the White House and the experience, that was in Japanese with subtitles. And then when the cops came over, they spoke English, and she spoke English back to them. And then when she had an internal dialogue, it was in Japanese with subtitles again.
Wow, okay.
And then Takizawa shows up naked with the scrawl over his Johnson,
yeah,
so you can't see his...
Yeah, like a scratch ticket.
Yeah, so you can't see his junk, and I was just like...
It's better than the elephant face that you used to see in original
Well, there's
anime.
An elephant that shows up later on. And so I was just like, But then when he talked... Like, at that first episode, he was only speaking in Japanese. The cops didn't understand what he was saying, so it was showing up with the thing, and I was like, wait. So is this thing dubbed or is it subbed? I'm so confused right now. It's subbed.
But anyway, you bring it...
It's subbed.
So Saki's in America.
Yes.
She just graduated college. She wanted to go on this congratulatory trip, and she wanted to go to America.
Yep.
And while she's there...
In America.
She was, yeah. So she goes.
Damn it, I knew I was going to.
Because she has this wish for Japan. And she figures
she
if she goes
one
to this.
Wish.
I thought Sorry. You said we weren't singing.
I know, but I already broke it, so yeah. You might as well just go with it.
And she wanted to go to the center of the world, which apparently is the White House.
No, it's
the fountain.
New York.
No. No. The
I know she went to D.C., but she is mistaken. It's New York.
But she went to the fountain in front of the White House and wanted to chuck a quarter into the fountain and make a wish. Now, mind you, there's a gate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't just walk in there.
You can't just be chucking stuff at the White House.
Which is
not these days, son.
Which is what spurred the cops to approach her.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where you meet Akira Takizawa. He is butt-ass naked.
Butt-ass naked.
With a gun in one hand.
Yep. And
a cell phone.
Evidently, a pistol between his legs. also known as his Johnny.
His Johnny.
He talks a lot about his Johnny in this series, by the way.
A lot of people talk about Johnny.
I know. I don't understand. We don't talk about... Well, no, let me shut up. Go ahead.
But anyway. So he sees that she's kind of in a tight spot, so he decides that he's going to distract the cops long enough so that, you know, she can kind of just ease out of the situation. Or they can get pulled into something else.
He can ease on to her situation. He's not brown chicken, brown cow.
But anyway, so this is how the unlikely pair meet. Mm-hmm. You know, and she decides to do something nice, you know, gives him her coat.
Right.
So that he's not walking around butt-ass naked.
Right.
But being kind of flighty.
You were going to say stupid, but you stopped yourself. She's absent-minded. It's one of her major mechanics.
She's ditzy.
Yes.
And she realizes that her passport and whatnot are in the coat.
Her money, her passport, everything she needs to be able to leave America.
And go home is in the coat.
That's on the naked dude that she doesn't know.
Which is what spurs her to chase him.
Right.
You know, and he...
And leave her luggage behind. So...
Yeah, she lost a lot of stuff.
You want to talk about... Okay, look, we're going to say this right now. She's kind of a dumb broad, because...
Which is why it's great she's in PR. But anyway...
Wow.
But she ends up chasing him down, and all the while, he's trying to figure out, why am I naked? Why am I in front of the White House? What's with this phone?
Why is my penis so big? Go ahead.
I don't know if that was... Actually, I don't think that's the case.
I know, because it was really, really, really small. With a single circle. It wasn't like they had to, like, make a swing-in thingy.
But
it is anime. They don't do that.
But regardless... So, I mean, Takazawa's trying to figure out who he is.
And why he naked.
Or who he was before he couldn't remember who he was.
And why he naked.
And I don't even know if he's really... I don't think that was really a big concern. He's just like, all right, I'm naked. Let me find where I'm supposed to go.
Well, especially because later on in the episode, like, in order to get out of a situation, because they had video, and so they were trying to prove, you know...
That he was linked to this thing.
And so he's like, no, and I'll just show you my Johnny. And he, like, drops trowel for this black cop.
And she's like, oh, nope, not you. And he's like, thank God it was really cold outside. So apparently he's a grower. But regardless of that, you find out later on that Takazawa is one of these Sarasau.
Yep.
And for some strange reason, now these phones, when you make a request, it will document every request that you make.
Yep.
And all the others can see what you're doing.
All the other Sarasaus can see and what.
And they can try to intercept you, not intercept you. Or
support you.
So if they want to. And mind you, one of them is a supporter, so if you fuck up, or you are deemed no longer worthy to play the game, the supporter will come up and fuck up your shit.
Yep.
That
will be your Christmas.
So, you know, he's trying to piece all this together. He doesn't know anything, because you find out that he erased his memories.
Yep. Which is a big to-doings, by the way.
Yeah. Like, a huge-ass request. And for some reason, you don't know what the reason is straight away, but you find out about it later as to why he did that.
Well, and the major piece of the journey of the series is about figuring out what he is, who he is...
And what he wants to do.
What he wants to do, and what he has done.
And what he's done, yeah.
And that's one of the things that was really interesting to me about the series was that, you know, it had a little bit of a Memento feel to it because he's retracing his steps.
Without
tattoos and outside forces acting on him without knowledge of who or what or why interest me in watching the reactions that happen.
Yeah.
I don't want to go through the whole thing.
I mean, it was so good. I felt like, I know, like, Black Swan was really noted for its narration and you not knowing off the bat exactly what was going to happen because you were experiencing things with the protagonist.
Right.
Which they did a really great job with in this particular series.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and usually I like really lengthy animes that get really into, like, they do a lot of research, so they have such finite details, and they did that in 11 episodes.
And well, you didn't feel like you were being overwhelmed with information.
You didn't feel, no, because they were really good at making sure that you knew just as much as your protagonist knew, so you never felt like everybody else knows everything but you, which I really liked. I don't want to go into a lot of it because I do feel that this is an anime that everyone should watch, and it's not time consuming. Like I said, it's only 11 episodes.
Yep.
There are two movies that come after it. Granted, I think they've only released the first one.
Right.
Which, oh, what a cliffhanger that is.
I know, the bastards! The bastards! I'm shaking my fist in the air when I say that.
But I liked the idea of there being this higher entity that was setting people up to make I'm really big on scenarios like that. Like, going through this anime, at the end of it, I was like, I don't know what I would do if I had been put into a situation where I was given money to change the world. And one, who could put a number on changing a country?
Don't even think about the number. Think of it this way. How responsible, really, if you're honest with yourself, how responsible, really, do you think you would be if someone was to hand you a tool right now and say, any request that you could think of to make, you can make in this device, and it will be achieved. What I challenge you to do is only make decisions
that will change
The world for the better.
Which is a big one of the underlying things of this anime. I mean, you do meet one of the Celestial, who's a doctor. And he's built this giant community.
Yes.
Of people who, you know, can't afford standard health care.
Yep.
Or have no means to do it, and he gives them to them.
Yep.
And their families
can live with... this amazing community of doctors, nurses, facilities.
To treat all the, you know, and the rest of Japan is kind of downing him for it. But everyone who's living in this community, you know, are praising him pretty much like a god.
Yep.
You know, and...
especially because there's a big chunk of the elderly, which, you know, the rest of the country seems to want to write off or just kill off, you know, once you get over a certain age that you
no have more no social security. Right, exactly. You know, and your main character meets him and he's like, you're doing good. You know, and I'm like, I'm surprised the doctor didn't win at that. But, you know, he's like, you know, I kind of did this for me, though. He's like, I didn't come into this game to win it. And you find out that there are several of these chosen who really have no desire to win. They want to live the life the way that they want to, and they've got the means to do it. I mean, you find very polar opposite people. Like, I mean, you find the doctor who's doing this great service to the elderly. And then you have the serial killer who likes to cut off Johnny's.
Yeah.
Virgin Johnny's at that.
Well, no, not necessarily.
Well...
So let's be clear. Her thing is...
she kills serial rapists.
She does. She goes after serial rapists.
But still, it's like, hey, I'm going to seduce this dude, fuck him up, and then cut off his wiener because he likes to put his wiener where it shouldn't be.
Yep. With a...
which, I mean, in its own way, is a way of bettering, well, any place, not necessarily one particular country. I mean,
which is why Juice is fulfilling her...
right. And why the supporter still hasn't gone after, because it is a service to Japan.
Correct.
But it's also fulfilling a need for her, because she has been wronged. So I think in her case, where she's doing good, but she's also servicing herself.
That's why it walks the line, you know.
Yeah.
So if she had taken the person who we both know was the last victim, then I think the supporter would come in.
Probably. But, I mean, it's just really great to see, you know, how strong someone's intentions are. You know, and I know in one of Madonna's songs, she had said the road to hell was paved in good intentions. And I think this anime kind of shows that a little bit. Because, I mean, here these people are given this great opportunity to do really good. And how many of them think they're doing the right thing, but they're not doing the right thing.
All right, so final thoughts. Buy it.
Oh my
Rent
god.
It wouldn't suck as a gift.
If you have Netflix, watch it, because you kind of technically bought it.
Right.
You already own it.
Right.
And I mean, you also have the movie. And the movie
Correct.
Pretty much comes in 6 months after the series.
Right.
And it picks right back up. And it's really worth the buy. Like, I'm actually even debating buying it for myself, even though, you know, you have it. But, I mean, I think it's something that should be in my physical collection. And if you are an anime collector, then you would probably want this in your collection. So I would say buy it. And if you have a Blu-ray player, buy it on Blu-ray. And chop
now,
it, too.
Just a final question, because I really want to know this before I do my thing. Do you really think it makes a difference for anime, specifically for anime, that there is a visual difference between the standard DVD copy and a Blu-ray copy?
I think it would depend on the anime. Like, I mean, I know a couple weeks ago they released Chobits on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
Which was, you know, was right at the time where they started doing more, like, CG-ish anime or, you know, more computer animation, tablet animation. So you see animation changing into a much more clearer, crisper, you know, form. And a lot of them kind of look more cookie cutter now because of that, because that's just the way it's going. Right. So, I mean, I have a lot of older animes that are, you know, back at the hand-drawn stage where there were, like, sweat houses full of people just drawing all day on, like, paper and flipping and all that. Those animes brought into a Blu-ray, I think, yes, definitely. The animes around now that are kind of already in that fresh state, I don't think you'll see that difference. But if you pull, like, a Chobits or an Utena and put that on Blu-ray and have, like, if you have your a regular DVD of it and then you put your Blu-ray next to it, I think you would see a remarkable difference.
I think you would have to remaster it in order to see a difference. And if you're remastering it, why wouldn't you have remastered it for the DVD?
I don't know. Actually, I have the Utena set, and I don't think it was remastered.
So, yeah, I mean, so it was just a straight dub.
It would be like a remastering and then adding more definition to it. But, I mean, you would definitely see a clear difference. I mean, the older stuff, yes. I have a weird issue with the newer stuff in Blu-ray, which is funny.
The 2.5D, which is basically what I call it, where they try to blend hand-drawn stuff with 3D.
Yeah.
Computer CGI. Yeah.
And it's really funny because Eden of the East is technically, I would say it's far more recent than a lot of the stuff that I watch.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I didn't watch it any other way. But
there's
Blu-ray.
A lot of computer-aided stuff that's in there, but it is wrapped around with hand-drawn stuff, and so it feels all hand-drawn, even though it's not.
Okay. So, I mean, I'd have to get something that I have on a regular DVD and get something on Blu-ray to really give a strong impression of that. But, okay. I mean, off the bat, older stuff on Blu-ray now, I would definitely say that there's a difference that you would see.
Cool beanies. All right, so we're running low on time here, so I'll try to keep mine, you know, fairly short. But get to the nuts and the bolts and the juicy.
Well, I'll get to the nuts.
You always get to the nuts. Yeah, I said it. Pandalicious.
Time management.
To the nuts.
Priorities.
And then I have to tell her to swallow. There you go. There's your sound bite for this episode. Wow. Have fun, internet.
That is just mean.
Well, you said it.
Anyway, you're
I mean, segment. I didn't make it up.
Hey, look, Assassin's Creed Revelations. What do you have to say about that? Like, oh my god, there's so much to say about it. You should say about it, like, right now.
So, yes, I'm talking about Assassin's Creed Revelation. So, we all know that Assassin's 3 is slated for 2012.
Yep.
Okay, more than likely, in keeping with how they've been releasing games, we're probably looking at the November corridor of 2012. So, what in God's earth are we supposed to do between now and November of 2012. Ubisoft says, play Assassin's Creed Revelations. So, the first thing I have to say about Revelations is, it makes me want to do really bad things that feel good in my pants. And here's why.
Didn't you say that about Brotherhood?
No, I didn't say that about Brotherhood. I just said Brotherhood was awesome. Okay, but this one is good. And will be interesting for people in this one statement that I'm going to make. In Revelations, you play as Altair, Ezio, and Desmond. They tie all three stories together. Ubisoft has promised that in Revelations, much like its name,
it's going to reveal something.
It's going to reveal some shit. Like, how exactly does Desmond tie to Ezio, tie to Altair?
Well, he's a descendant of theirs.
But how?
How could he be descended but to both of them?
No. How is that a descendant? We don't know what happened with Altair.
Somebody made a baby who
and
then
somebody made
a baby.
And made babies, but who made babies with who? At what point in time do you stop being an assassin? How hurt and maimed and decrepit are you at that point? Who would then want to tap that? These are questions I need answers to.
Whoa.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to, you know, what was the next mission after Altair's story? Because obviously there was more that happened. But what was it? Because there's this big chunk of time that's missing. That leads us to, you know, Italy. And now
and the Borgia and Ezio.
And then, you know, how do we get to Templar still fighting assassins in the way, 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 way future?
In our modern time.
You know, what about...
And not even our modern time, in our past.
Okay. And what about the first settlers, you know, that... What? Like, fuck, man. There's so many questions. And that's one of the things that I've always praised the Assassin's franchise for, is that for the few questions that they do answer or hint at what an answer could be, there's at least 15 new questions that come up. There will be some answers and revelations, which is great, because then you really are ready to tie
all of it together whatever in a box with a bow and put it underneath the tree.
Right. So, I'm going to spoil some shit right now, and I don't really feel bad about it because you should already be done with it at this point. Okay? So, at the end of Brotherhood, which we've gotten to,
mm-hmm.
some shit goes down. Some bad shit.
Oh, man. I think some undeserving.
Okay. It's some bad shit.
It's some bad juju.
All right, I told you I was spoiling it, so just
if you don't fast forward, it's not my fault. If you don't want to listen to this, go listen to the Benny Hill theme for about 2 minutes.
Yeah. You can't do it because then we will do it. Stop it! I will punch you with my power ring.
I'm sorry. It's all right. Addictive.
I know it is. Benny Hill is the shit. But basically, at the end of Brotherhood, when you play the story mode, you, meaning Desmond, you kinda...
You kill a bitch.
Alright, you don't kinda.
You totally... Well, you... Alright, it's your body, but
you
it's not...
You don't wanna do it. It's Minerva. If this was... fucking bitch!
If this was Dunk Dunk, I don't really watch it. He didn't have the intent... So there wasn't really a crime.
Okay. But you basically get forced into killing, what's her name?
Lucy.
Thank you. And I was really upset, because, I mean, you have no choice. Stop doing that. That's disgusting.
I'm sorry. It's bothering me.
It's my floor. Stop it.
Sorry.
Stop it. Ew.
Sorry.
Stop it. So you basically kill Lucy, step by step, and I took a long time to do it. Like, my companion cube in the original porno, I was like, Chuck! But this, I was like, no! There's gotta be a different button that I can push!
There wasn't.
And there wasn't. You were gonna stab that bitch, and she was... In order to make something possible to happen, which we're not gonna know until 2012.
The Eve!
Yeah, but anyway.
The her.
Yeah, but who is the her?
And well, that's what we're going to find out.
And is the her, like, your kid? Like, what just happened? What just fucking happened? So anyway, with that action, basically, Desmond has a psychotic break.
No, really? He just killed the chick who saved him and he was theoretically banging.
Or definitely in love with. Had feelings for sure.
Had feelings for, put on the spank bank, was ready to tap that, and he put it on ice.
Okay.
Literally.
So he ends up back in a coma. And when he's in this coma, he basically, all of his missions in Revelation are about trying to put his mind back together. So because they can't do anything for him, Desmond gets put back in the Animus. And he gets put back into a safe room that they're basically calling the Black Room. And through a bunch of puzzle things that Desmond does, he basically has to put his shattered memories back together. And so as he does that, you know, the world starts to take form. And you can actually see the Auditore Village, like, in the background. And so I don't necessarily know what the pieces of that are going to be. But while that's happening... the pieces where you are Ezio are actually going to take place in Constantinople.
Istanbul.
No, Constantinople.
It was Istanbul, but it's now Constantinople.
Yeah. No, Istanbul was Constantinople. Now it's Istanbul, not Constantinople.
Okay.
Why did Constantinople get the works? That's nobody's business but the Turks. All right, anyway, that's enough of that. Oh, the singing. Stop it. And don't look at me like that. You look at me like that kid that was like, I fucking love coloring, and you're scaring me right now. But anyway.
Oh my god, my eye just hurt.
You almost popped it out of your head. That's
ow. But like Tex Avery style.
You just totally went Tex Avery in reality.
Oh, it hurts. It's not something that should be done. No, you anyway, shouldn't. So he's piecing together his fragmented psyche.
Desmond's trying to put his brain back together.
Knows well, duly noted.
Okay. Ezio is older. Okay, we catch up with Ezio now. He's in his 50s. Still slanging that same Game Boy. He's just assassinating, like, you know,
a mofo. Assassinating and but, fucking.
Well.
That's not very.
Not as much. And really, at this point, you know, now, you know, Ezio is 50. Is really thinking about, you know, the road less traveled. Okay.
Like, man, I should get a standard 9-to-5, because, get a woman.
Well, you gotta remember, from when Ezio became an assassin, it wasn't like he was training all of his life to be an assassin. Okay, it was because all the males in his family got killed. Okay, and the reason why they killed all the males, including his younger brothers, because they wanted to end the auditory line so that there would be no more assassins from that family. And so he's the assassin from that family. But now it's at the point that he is now the end of the auditory line.
And he has no heirs.
He has no heirs. He has no woman. He has no stability. And so he's thinking about that. But while that's happening, you basically are searching for these keys. Okay? And it's believed that the Templars have them. You know, and it's, I believe that, you know, if you played Brotherhood, what he's looking for are those keys to the temple. The
last right. Temple.
It's known that the Templars already have one. So Ezio's mission is to get the other 6 and then somehow find out which Templar has the last key and also get it.
Right.
Okay. So you're, all of that information that Ezio's able to find basically points to Constantinople. While he's there, and once you get a hold of the keys, Ezio actually starts getting insight into Altair and his past. And then that's where Altair comes in, because as you get those keys, as you explore those things, Altair's life becomes something that Ezio sees, much like the Animus allows Desmond to relive his ancestors' memories. These keys are allowing Ezio to relive those. So there's a hint that these keys were the basics of the technology for the present-day Animus.
Ooh, okay.
So, again, really starting to weave things together. As we get close to the finale, as Ubisoft has promised, of the series, of the franchise with, you know, 3, I like the idea. I have to say, I'm very, very attracted to the idea of Revelations, because there are just so many things that I need resolved. Like, I hate and love a little bit, but really more dislike when I finish a game and I have more questions than answers.
I think anyone could say that not only about games, but favorite series that they like.
I know, movies but, that oh, they don't like. Even get me started. Like, especially with like the way that The Sopranos ended. But really with a game, though, I feel like if I put in the time and effort to make it to the end of your product, my reward isn't just the journey. My reward is the journey with the solution at the end.
Don't stop believing.
Fuck you! I'm not gonna stop believing. They're alive. They didn't die. Fuck you! Tony Soprano lives.
Regardless.
Alright, so anyway. So it was one of the most infuriating things for me, finishing especially Brotherhood, but two.
Oh God! Oh,
where I was like, Qualis Lefouk. You know, you get all the pieces of the truth. You go through all those.
You don't have to talk to me about getting all the pieces of the truth.
The stupid fucking puzzles and the thing, and you do all of that.
The fucking file.
Ugh. You do all of that, and it's just more questions. No! Bad developers! You tell me now! I gave you monies! I give you minutes and hours of my life! The least you can do is tell me, is Minerva a bad person or a good person?
They have to create the hype.
We're three games in! I think we've created it!
BioWare is doing the same thing with Dragon Age and Bio. And,
see, I haven't done the Dragon Age thing,
and Mass Effect.
But, see, Mass Effect, you got some answers.
But there's still more questions than answers.
There's more questions, but I think we actually really have more answers than questions. Like, we know what's going on with the universe, okay? The Reapers, all right? Bad juju.
The Harbingers, the big one you really want to worry about.
Okay, and now we know that the Harbingers are bringing about all this change and putting the technology back out there because they were the ancient ones. They thought it was the Geth, but they're really pawns. And some of them don't align up with them, as you learn in 2. So they're right. Not all bad. Okay, so we've learned that the Geth aren't all bad. Okay, we learned that Saren ain't shit compared to other things that are out there in the universe.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing that we took care of Saren. Okay, and that, you know, a human Reaper being made was, like, you know, preposterous. And we learned about, you know,
the Terminator.
Well,
because the human Reaper looked like one.
I know. Which would mean that the Harbinger is going to control the Skynet, and that would just be bad. That would be a bad
Sarah
thing.
Connor made it to space.
You know, so
we're fucked.
I don't feel like there are so many unanswered questions. Like, I don't feel like I have any unanswered questions, really, for me, that are, like, burning a hole from 2. Okay? I understand Miranda's story. The bitch still pissed at me, but what are you gonna do?
Oh my god. Yeah,
whatever. I got the stupid helmet, and I'm like, oh my god, how many more Paragon points do
She's
I need before I can get it?
Angry.
But you can win her back, because if you get the helmet that helps you negotiate, then her positive choice shows up. You just have to gain enough Paragon points so that you can actually pick it.
Okay.
So, you can sway the bitch back.
I gave up.
Okay.
She ain't worth it.
I know. Space heffa. Anyway, what are you gonna do?
She takes your space money. She's a triflin.
She is. She does.
But anyway.
But she ain't messing with no broke. I don't have burning unanswered questions. Like, you know, if I don't really get the history on the inside man.
The elusive man?
Yeah, the elusive man. I won't die. Okay, like, if I don't know his backstory...
But you gotta question, because it's gotta be a doozy if they're lining it up so that, you know...
I mean, if they're gonna include him in the third one, I'm interested in it, but I wasn't, like, playing through, and the moment that I discovered him, like, immediately wanting to go, I want to know what turns you on. What are your likes, your dislikes? Like, where do you come from?
And no, like, when I first saw him, when I played through Mass Effect 2, I was like, you are a much bigger pawn, and I know it. I just don't know why yet. And at the end of it, when that choice, you know, came up pretty much to either, you know, give him what he wanted or not, I was like, and this is what's going to start that whole bit of information that I want. This is the point that I need to be paying attention. And that's where they cut off. So I think it really depends on your perspective when you go into a game. Like, sometimes you just get inklings about characters. I don't know if you do that in certain games. Mm-hmm. But I know for me, especially in BioWare, I'm like, something's up with you.
But I'm not talking about impression or intuition. I'm talking about really desire to understand and know. You know, and I don't always get that with some characters. There are some characters that I really just don't give a flying fuck to understand their backstory. You know, I can just work with it, okay? Like Bulletstorm. Okay, I didn't have to know the backstory between the Colonel and the character that you play. Because it was just so damn fun to blow shit up. Like, the fact that there was a story there was kind of cool. But, like, I didn't need to know the entire history of space pirates.
Arr.
Okay? Like, to enjoy it.
Okay.
Okay? I didn't have to understand or see, like, at the beginning of the game, where you actually are going through that mission where you end up...
I actually thought the first few segments of Bulletstorm were a little drawn out and long.
This is what I'm saying. Like, I didn't need those to enjoy the game. Like, I could have gone completely without that whole mission where you learn that you're killing people not because they're bad, but because...
Yes, but they had to establish a reason.
They could have just told me in a flashback. I didn't need to play that as a mission. You know, that would have been fine for me as an FMV, like, in the introduction, showing the guys running through and learning that that's what it was and jumping into the game. Like, I didn't have to play that as a mission.
We're not talking about Bulletstorm or anything like that.
Well, I'm using it as the example. I didn't have to do that in order to give a damn about Ishii.
But you had to do that in Assassin's Creed, though. You felt like you had to do that.
I feel like I have to know what the fuck Minerva is up to understand everything that's gone on before.
Okay.
I feel like I have to understand how Altair ties to Ezio. To get how it ties to Desmond, I feel like I have to know that.
Okay.
You know me. I don't finish games.
Yeah, I know.
I finished Brotherhood.
Did you finish one?
I've gone back and done it now. I didn't originally. Because I was like, oh my god, here we go. I'm in the hay again. Oh my god, here we go. I'm in the hay again. Oh my god, here I go. I'm in the hay again.
That'd be a really great song auto-tuned.
Oh my god, here I go. I'm in the hay again. Oh my god, here I go, I'm in the hay again. Yeah, but I feel like I need to understand, because I'm so vested in it now. Like, I give a damn about Desmond as a character. I give a damn about Ezio as a character. So when I first started hearing about the information about Revelations where all three... were going to be playable, I thought, okay, well, maybe here's a chance for me to get some more nuggets about, you know, each of them, so I can start piecing it together for myself.
I don't know, because this seems like a very big scape. Like, this universe is not just
one... Oh, you've got
multiple universes here, multiple histories.
You have to give it up to Ubisoft. They have really done a fantastic job of really painting a fantastic picture.
And not just one. We're looking at three different...
Okay, really interwoven. I mean, this has really, really been thought through. And as many different people have worked on the projects to be able to maintain that same base thread throughout is really a feat that not a lot of franchises...
do, and then do well.
And pull off, you know. So I definitely give them the hands for that. But to have, you know... First, everyone thought, and I was on that camp, that Brotherhood was going to be the stopgap until 3. You know, here's what you can play. It's put together really quickly, you know, that you can run through while you're waiting for 3. And then it was great. And on top of it, it had good multiplayer. Not great. Revelations, another piece. Very similar to Brotherhood in that it is another... bridge in the story until we get to the end. So we've hit the middle. We now have the bridge that's going to bring us to the end. Some questions will be answered, but it's not just a quick port of even Brotherhood. Okay, a lot of things have been revamped in here, and I think that they're really fantastic. You know, there's another weapon, which, who doesn't like another weapon? I mean, let's face it, okay? You know, the single blade thing that comes shooting out, when we first saw that in Assassin's, you're like, oh my god, that's so cool. So they top it and they give you 2 of them in the next game. And then they top it and give you 2 of them in smoke bombs.
And a flying machine.
And, you know, well, for at least, you know, one mission. But it was still pretty effing boss. Okay, now they realize that getting around the city is still a little bit slow. So now there are going to be zip lines. Okay, so there's a hook attachment for your blade that allow Ezio to zip line across stuff. So not just hand-over-hand pull, which really, you know, takes a while, and the AI just ends up waiting for you on the other side of the line, shooting at you until you fall off, and you're like, motherfuck!
Right.
Okay? With, you know, additional weapons that'll be available, obviously. But they've revamped the Borgia Towers into something that I thought they were really going to do in Brotherhood. So you have areas that are under control by the Templars, and it's your responsibility to get rid of them. Right. But then they become areas where you can really develop and build assassins. You have the ability to, in multiplayer, create your own character, which is something that I think was missing from Brotherhood, you know, that you could only play one of the existing archetypes. Now you can really do a character customization and jump in and play with your assassin, you know, which I think will add a lot to the game's replay while we're waiting for November 2012.
Okay.
So there's all kinds of things that are going on there. Like I said, you are in Constantinople. This game is coming out November 2011, which is why I think they're going to stick with that, because...
Well, not to mention, I mean, if they put in stuff like multiplayer and stuff, that can also bide you over until the next year.
Well, this is what I'm saying.
There should be, they'll probably do a lot of additional content that will beef that up.
Sure, sure. I mean, and I respect that, you know, as a gamer. I like when you try to give me value in the game that I've invested in. And it's not just a, well, here it is, hope you enjoyed it, thanks, okay, bye. You know, so, I mean, I still go back to Brotherhood every so often just to do multiplayer pieces.
You should probably, you know, finish buying all the shit and stuff. Because, I mean, I restored Rome, like, 100%. Like, it's all done.
Yeah, I haven't restored Rome all the way.
I did.
I keep killing people. I like jumping off of things and stabbing people.
Well, you should, you know, do that and get the flags and the feathers. I'm still missing two feathers and I can't get to them. So I'm like, fuck you, feathers. Fuck.
If you've restored all of Rome, you should be able to get to every feather.
I have restored all of Rome.
Well, then you're just
done. I'm just not good at grabbing ledges. Because I don't jump in real life. I would never jump off of buildings in real life.
Right.
So, I think something's plausible, and it's not.
Right.
And then I just get fed up. I'm like, fuck that feather.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, anyway. I'm excited for Revelations. It looks fantastic. I don't want to say gone back to the drawing board, but they've definitely reinvented some of the characters in that they're now using that newer motion capture technology, the stuff that they're using for L.A. Noire.
Yeah.
And for the characters to be re-envisioned that way. So I think that we're going to see a more, even more realistic and even more endearing Ezio and a more endearing Desmond, because it'll be even more real looking with the mocap than before. So I'm really interested in it. I am very excited for it. I'm hoping that Ubisoft will have some stuff to talk about and show off and really allow me to get my mitts around at E3. So I will keep you guys posted for sure, but if you're interested like I am, then, you know, keep an eye out on our website, www.electricsisterhood.com, because you never know when I'm, you know, I might write something about it. Or
you could use our short address, which is esh.co. That is esh.co. The short address will bounce it to the long one. You could check out the articles that are written within the week. All questions and comments about the articles or whatnot should go to mailbag@landofesh.com. We are available on iTunes for free. Subscribe, leave a comment and or review, please.
That's right. You can make sure that you get the brand new episodes of our podcast the moment we put them out on the interwebs, which we do with regularity, typically on Mondays. So visit the iTunes Music Store and search for Electric Sisterhood, and then hit that really, really cute little gray subscribe button. And that will make sure that when we put it out there, you'll get it. Fresh, hot pipe and ash, right in your ear. Or you can also search for us through the Zune Marketplace as well, if you have a device that's not an iDevice.
If you don't want to do either of those things, you can plug us into any podcast search engine or the RSS reader. But if you're going to do that, you might as well invest in the other shows that fly underneath our banner.
That's right, because we are not the only thing that makes up the Land of Esh. No. While our new episodes of the podcast go out on Monday, we also have underneath our banner the Boston Bastard Brigade shows, whose podcast goes out on Tuesday, which is hosted by King Baby Duck and a bunch of bastards and wenches from over there. They're pretty good folks. I enjoy them all. I do. I do. And then on Wednesday, you can follow that up with an episode of the Geek Aggro Podcast, hosted by Deuce as well, who's also good people. One of our original homies. Good peeps. You should definitely check out their websites. You can respectively find it all, actually, at thelandofesh.com, as well as information and the ability to purchase our magazine, which I highly recommend, not just because, one, we made it, two, we're in it, and three, it's full of winning.
Duh, winning.
But because I really, really like you, and I want to share something that's important to me with you. So buy it! Landofesh.com. Make that happen. We're also on Twitter. We're on Facebook. Guess what? Surprise, surprise. Facebook.com/Landofesh. We give stuff away every once in a while. You can always ask us questions. You can interact with us. We can talk about what's going on in the worlds and things like that. All of the Landofeshers are on Twitter. You can find them easily by visiting my page at twitter.com/NinjaSista and checking out the Landofesh list. They're all good people, all worth following, so I highly recommend that you get on that shizzles. Speaking of shizzles, what shit do you dig this week, Panda?
Besides Glee?
Yeah, besides Glee.
RPG Grinders.
Aw. Over. Is it because you pod crashed?
I did indeed podcast fairly recently. The guys over there at RPG Grinders were gracious enough to have me, and I really liked being on a different show.
Aww, you got to spend time away from me, and you had fun.
I got to talk to boys.
Men.
I liked being on a live show. It was live when I was on it.
We're not doing live.
I know. But I enjoyed doing live. I think I did fairly well. They seemed to like to have me there.
You do well when things are just thrown at your face.
Yes.
I said thrown in your way.
That's not what you said. You said thrown in my face.
I did?
Yeah.
Oops. My bad.
But they're over at All Games. They typically go off on Fridays around 6:30 Eastern Standard Time. They've offered me to come repetitively, and I might actually do that. But I absolutely dig them. And they're not shit. They're people I dig.
Well, then I guess you completely missed the point of that assignment.
Well, I dig it. I dig them. Then they're not shit. They're cool things that I dig. Just things. People that are awesome. What do you think is awesome? What shit do you dig?
Alright, right now the shit that I'm digging is summer peaches. Because they're not in season yet, but I'm already thinking about them. Because they're yummy and juicy and I fucking love them. So that's number one. Number two, I'm gonna go with... it just came out. There's a new ergonomic keyboard that I saw. I want to say that it's made by Smartfish, but I don't think that's the company name, and I probably should have looked it up. But what I love about it is that it is a raised ergonomic keyboard, so it's not one that slopes up, but it itself actually is up and slopes down, so your hands actually comfortably do the rest like they're supposed to, that everyone says is fantastic. So I really want to get my hands on that and try that out, because it looks pretty damn cool, and I'm kind of crushing on it real hard. And then the final thing that I'm going to be digging on is Fender Strata Starcaster, the stringed one for Rock Band 3. I still haven't been able to get my hands on one, mostly because I'm broke right now.
Broke.
But I really, really want one because I really want to explore some of the Rock Band 3 songs with it. So it's on the list, and you know, maybe in the future Santa Claus will be awesome to me and make it happen. So that's the shit that I'm digging right now this week. And I gotta say, we both came up with some pretty good shit that we dig.
Or people.
Right.
Or situations.
No, we don't dig the situation. We never dig the situation.
No, situations we dig. Not the situation we dig.
Okay, because we don't dig the situation.
No, I don't
we're
even...
In,
I
we're think we're in agreement on that.
Yeah.
Okay, we can leave it at that. So as always, I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
We are out of here, people.
Bye, everybody.
Peace.
Hi, this is Derek H. from Dead Pixel Live DPL, a show that is almost as good as Esh. I'd like to congratulate Electric Sisterhood on 5 years of being the best, the fucking best Tech Gaming Anime Podcast on the web. I think that's right. The Tech Gaming Anime Podcast. I think that's a little... That little blurb always gets me tongue-tied a little bit. And even though Panda keeps shooting me down every time I ask her out, I hope you guys go for at least another 5 years.
Hey, Panda. Hey, Ninja. This is SlimTor78. Just wishing you a happy 5-year anniversary on your podcast. It's a great podcast. I try to tell all my friends about it and suggest it to many people as possible. Love the reviews. Love all, everything that you're doing right now. And I can't wait to hear that other podcast that Ninja always talks about. All right. Looking forward to the next 5. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Hi, it's Scott Rubin, that guy from G4 TV and All Games Interactive. I'm finishing out a court-ordered ban from webcasting, but I did notice that the lovely ladies of Esh were turning 5. 5 years in podcasting, that's like 20 years in radio. Congratulations to the entire Esh family on this incredible milestone.